I'd like for you to get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Jeremiah, and specifically to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want us to read the first few verses. We're going to read through verse 12. And it starts in verse 1. It says this: "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying," and this is the modern English version, it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel," the potter's wheel. "Yet the vessel that he made of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to do to it. Or at another moment I may speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will relent of the good which I had, or I said I would bless it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, look, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Repent now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your deeds good. But they say there is no good. But they say there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and each of us will do according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." And I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning of the clay in the potter's hand. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to relay to this, your people, the word that you placed upon my heart. For Lord, your heart is to do good and not evil. But I do pray that you would give us understanding concerning, Lord, what you will do and what you are going to do, and help us to be a people that will listen to your voice as you are calling to us. For Lord, your plans are to prosper. Your plans, Lord, are to do good. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to give ear to what you are saying in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Jeremiah was known to be the weeping prophet. He, carrying the burden of the Lord upon his heart, would weep. Many a times in the scripture, he even wrote a book called Lamentations. Lamentations, or to lament, means to weep, to cry out, to be in bitterness of soul. And this prophet Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet to the people of Judah as well as of Israel, to God's people. And because he carried the heart of God, his desire was to see God's people to change in the way that God so desired. But because the people there in Israel, or in Judah specifically, their hearts began to grow cold towards the things of God. They began to worship idols. The sin of Baal worship was prominent there in the society. Many people were serving other gods. They were in some way seemingly to be spiritual, but they were not serving the Lord God with all of their hearts. There was mixture, there was hardness, there was stubbornness in their lives. And so God loves his people. How many of you know that? God loves his people. He desires to see a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, not in pretense, not for show. And his desire and his heart is for his people, but in looking over the land of Israel during this particular time, their hearts have grown weary. They don't want anything to do with the living God, and so they've begun to manufacture their own kind of religion. They've begun in their hearts to turn away from God. And because God's heart is for them, and because he is a father, he now has in mind to bring discipline to not only individuals, but to the whole nation. Any loving parent who loves their children sincerely and truly will not allow things to be going without being dealt with. Amen? Just like the scripture says, a loving father disciplines his children. Now, obviously, that discipline needs to be correct discipline. But any loving parent, even any lover of their own animals, will discipline their own pets. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like I mentioned to you earlier, we just got a puppy. We got to train that little puppy in the way that little puppy should go. Amen? Discipline is necessary. And so God is now devising a plan to deal with this nation of Israel and Judah. Their hearts aren't seeking after God anymore. And so the Lord speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, who's carrying God's heart. He would weep because he sees the hardness of heart on these people. He's speaking the word of God to the people. Thus says the Lord. And so the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, go, Jeremiah, to the potter's house. And when you go there, I will speak to you. And so Jeremiah goes to the potter's house. And as he's there, he looks at the potter. And for any of you that have ever done work in pottery, say in school, in art class, or those that have family members that work on pottery, the clay that the potter works with needs to be very soft and pliable. Isn't that right? It's hard to work with hard and stubborn clay. If it's hard, you got to get water on it, warm water, you begin to knead it, and you begin to make that clay really soft to work with. And so Jeremiah makes his way to the potter's house, and there he sees the potter working on a clay jar or some kind of pottery. And as he's working on it, and as he's forming the piece of pottery or the cup, the bowl, the plate, whatever it is, as he's fashioning this particular piece of pottery, all of a sudden it begins to fall apart. It spoils. One version says it was marred in the hand of the potter. This version says it was spoiled in the hand of the potter. In other words, as he was fashioning it and it was turning in the wheel, he began to shape it, he began to put it together. All of a sudden it began to crumble and it began to fall apart and it just fell into pieces. And so there's this piece of clay that had so much use, but it fell apart in the hand of the potter. And so then this potter, instead of just getting the clay and throwing it in the trash, as would be obvious, you can get that piece of clay and begin to knead it together again. And from that same lump of clay, he can refashion it again into something else. And so there's this piece of clay. It spoils in his hand. He gets this spoiled piece of clay and recreates from it another vessel. And it's just like it says there, even as was in the mind of the potter. Look what it says there in verse 4. Yet the vessel that he made of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then all of a sudden, after he's seeing this analogy, he's seeing this happening before his eyes, God speaks to him. And he begins to tell them about his people Israel. And he begins to relay to Jeremiah his heart in the sense that he is Almighty God and he is the one that created Israel to begin with. He is the potter and Israel was the clay. Amen. And in many ways, as we look at this Old Testament story, it does apply to you and me, for you and I, as the scripture says, are the Israel of God in Christ Jesus. He is the potter and he is the clay, and I'm here to tell you that God has intention and purpose for every one of our lives. There is no one excluded. Young, old, it doesn't matter the color of the skin or our position in society. God has a plan for our lives. And just like the potter had intention to put together a particular piece of pottery, it began to break. It began to crumble. It was spoiled in his hand. And what I love about it is that there are times in your and my life, as God is dealing with our lives, we see God doing things in our lives and things are going seemingly forward in our lives, but then it seems like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, where it seemed like God was doing something in our lives, it seems like everything fell apart. Anybody ever been there before? But the intention of that potter is not to destroy or to throw anything in the trash. How many of you know that our God is not a God of waste? And so, some of us in our youth, God called us, and we knew the call of God, and we knew God was calling us to do this or that. But then as life begins to happen, and how many of you know that life at times is not nice? And all of a sudden, things begin to impact our lives, and where we were headed a particular route, we found a detour. Or a detour was thrown in front of us, either way. And the call of God was this way, but we veered off another way. And the enemy would make it seem as if, well, you messed up. There is no way that God has any purpose for your life, but I'm here to tell you that God still has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter where we've veered off or for how long we've been there. God is able to take our lives and restore that original plan or just create a whole other one. Amen? But this piece of pottery, it fell apart, it was spoiled, so he made another one as he saw fit. And sometimes in our minds, we may think we've got to go this way, but God is saying you've got to go this way. Amen? And God has a way of getting us to go that way. Sometimes it's because it got crumpled up. Amen? I don't know if you've ever heard it said, one closed door means another one is open somewhere else. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on that closed door, we can't see the open door. Someone said that the grace of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God has a way to order our steps. And if we will call out to Him for direction, He will lead us. And so Jeremiah hears the word of the Lord, and it comes to him concerning the house of Israel. Look at verse 6. It says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to do to it. Or to another moment I may speak concerning a nation, a kingdom to build and to plan it. But if it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will relent of the good with which I said I would bless it. God has good intention for you, every one of you, for me. He has desire to bless and to prosper, to direct your life. But there are times when we do make our mistakes and we veer off. But even God in His mercy, when we've veered off at times, will allow destruction to come into our lives in one way or another. And He allows it so to get our attention. Amen. You see, Israel had been turning its back on God, and so God would eventually allow, as time would progress, you see, there was a stubbornness in their heart. God, through Jeremiah, speaking to them, look, you're clay in my hand. Look, if I'm desiring to bring destruction to you, if you will repent of your wicked ways, if you will turn to me with all of your heart, I will relent. I will stop. I won't allow the destruction to come to you. In the same way, he says, for the good that he's intending for this other nation, that if that nation begins to turn from the living God, begins to do evil and not obey God and obey his voice, then instead of the good, then comes the bad. And so God has a way of using trials, tests, temptation, failure, even destruction to get our attention. The children of Israel and Judah would turn away from God. They would not give ear to Jeremiah. There were times when they would repent for a short season, but eventually the whole nation was overcome in their idolatry. And God would use the Babylonians to come. First, he used the Assyrians to take the nation of Israel. Then he used the Babylonians to take Judah. They would be taken to a Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And in that captivity, God would deal with their idolatry. And it's interesting that the children of Israel, on a whole, since then have never been idolatrous again. Now, I'm not talking about individuals. You see, individuals are still have their own will to choose whatever they want. But the nation as a whole has never turned back to idolatry. God dealt with that sin. And so God in His mercy dealt with them. He used the destruction for good. And there are times when the enemy is allowed to scheme and meddle in our lives, to test, to try us. But then as we know what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn around for His good. Our struggles, our trials, the things that we've gone through in our lives, individually, in our homes, in our marriages, God can turn it around for good. God has an intention through it all. But in the midst of it, if we have been doing wrong and we repent, God will turn it around to good. But if we will stay stubborn in our wicked ways, God will allow the destruction to come. God deals with us. He deals with our wills. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Those that are saying, Lord, Your will be done. Or those that are saying, Lord, My will be done. There's no other ones. That's it. And as God is dealing with us, there are times when we want to have our way to the extent that God will say, okay, Your will be done. And we will reap the consequences of what we're sowing. And God will allow that to teach us. You see, we're like clay in the hand of the potter. And God has intention to shape us and to fashion us in a way that will bring glory and honor to Him. But we must be a people that remain pliable in His hand. Amen? Soft. Sensitive. Pliable means if you have a piece of clay, you could put your finger in it, and man, there's an indention of a fingerprint right there. Amen? You ever bond that old Play-Doh? How many of you ever played with Play-Doh before? Right? At first, it's nice and pliable. You could put it in one of those little machines and make cheese out of it, like, you know, or spaghetti, get those little sets, you know what I mean? It's pliable. It goes through all those things. But then you leave it out for too long. What happens to that clay, that Play-Doh? Gets all hard, It dries out, man. You try as you may, it's like a rock. Man, you can get that thing and throw it at something and hurt someone with it if you're not careful. Amen? Unpliable. It's not soft anymore. And you see, God is dealing with you. He's dealing with me, but we must remain pliable. Amen? Don't grow hard or grow weary. Let God do His work in your life because He's fashioning you into something that's going to bring glory and honor to Him. But it's ultimately to be a blessing to you as well. Amen? Amen? In verse 11, he said, "Speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Repent now, he says, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your deeds good." But they say in return, instead of wanting to do that, they say there's no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and each of us will do according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Guard your heart against hardness of heart. Pray, oh God, make me sensitive. Don't let me grow hard toward the dealings that you're doing in my heart. For God wants to use your life. He wants to create of you a vessel of honor, a vessel that will bring glory to Him. And if you will keep remaining sensitive in His hand, He will fashion you. Amen. He is the potter, we are the clay. I remember an old poem. As I was thinking about this sermon and thinking about this poem, came to me, and I remembered it from when I was in Pennsylvania. Maybe you've heard it before, but I want to share it with you. And in essence, you can kind of see through this poem what God intends for you and for me. It's called The Old Violin. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand as well, a subtitle. Maybe you've even heard the song, The Touch of the Master's Hand. But this is the poem, and I just hope it'll be a blessing to you. Listen to it. It says, 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people, he cried, who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up its strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" as he held it aloft with its bow. 1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he's going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Don't you like that? The touch of the master's hand. We are the clay. He is the potter. And if we will submit to his dealings in our heart and our lives, God will do something powerful in and through our lives. No one excluded. No one excluded. God wants to use all of our lives. But we must allow him to touch us. Amen. That violin at first is all dusty and old, out of tune. But then that master musician comes up and he gives it a nice cleanup. Amen? Now it's shiny. It's old. You know, those wood instruments, the older they get, the better they sound. And so he wipes it clean. He gets that bow and begins to play it. Amen? Like a master would. And all of a sudden, the beautiful melody from that violin begins to sound. And all of a sudden, the worth of that thing changed dramatically. You and I are worth quite a bit to God. And he's done everything necessary to save us, everything necessary to take our lives and do amazing things through it. All we have to do is, like that clay, submit to the master's hand. Don't kick against the pricks. He may be dealing with areas in your heart, in my heart. And he's saying, lay that down. Or he's saying, take that up. He may be saying, stop this. Or he's saying, start that. Whatever God is telling you, listen to him. Don't be afraid to submit to the master's hand. His intentions are good for you. His thoughts towards you, the Bible says, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is God's intention. And so if we will submit to him and allow him to touch us, he will be the one that will change our lives and it'll bring glory to him. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand this morning. I don't know where you are with the Lord, but I'm almost sure that God's dealing with your heart, because he's dealing with all of us, isn't he? And maybe some of the things he's been telling you are hard. Some of those things are tough. You know, it's hard sometimes to turn away from things that we've held to for so long, or sometimes it can be difficult because there's fear. We don't know what's going to be in the future as a result of some of the decisions that we have to make. Sometimes those steps of faith are hard. It's like a wall of fire you have to step through. You'll never know until you step through it. But if God is calling you to do something, and he's telling you, and you know what I'm saying, he's made it clear to you, in your heart you know it, I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid. God has thoughts of peace and not of evil for you. He's got a future and a hope. It may mean having to humble yourself. It may mean having to go to someone and get it right where wrong has been done. It may mean having to move. I mean, I don't know how God's speaking to you, but there are times in our lives when God is saying, I want you to go. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I know. I've experienced it many times. My whole family left Pennsylvania because God said, go. And we would have never known what God would do through our lives, or is going to continue to do, had we never taken that step by faith. Amen. And it's not easy. It's not easy on the flesh. We would rather know how it's going to work out, you know. But it takes the step of faith. You have to walk through that wall of fire by faith. But I'm here to tell you that his arms are wide open. He has his embrace. He's got a future for you. And if he's telling you, and he's calling you to something specific, you believe him, and he will bring you through. Amen? And so I want to open up the altar just to pray. This message is spoken to you in one way or another. I don't have to try to pinpoint it, but God is speaking to you. I want us to come to the altar, and I want us to pray together. And let's believe God for him to take our lives and to fashion it and to form it in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to him. And he, as the potter, his intention is to make it a brand new thing. It may seemingly have fallen apart. Your life may feel like it's in turmoil. It might seem like it's all broken up. And God, how can you take this mess? But I'm here to tell you, he's the potter. Maybe you feel like you're a big lump of clay that is dried out and there's no moisture anymore. You know what God can do? He'll take it and break it down into a powder, and he'll re-satiate it. He'll put more moisture in it, and he'll make that clay soft again. He's able to do amazing things if we will trust him. And so, Father, we come before you today acknowledging that you are the potter and that we are the clay. And, Lord, you see your people here at the altar this morning, and you know exactly, Lord, what it is that they are talking to you about even right now. Lord, you know, Lord, there are times where there is the fear to take that step forward because we don't know what to expect. But I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring reassurance to the heart, that you got thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you have a future and a hope for them. For those that, Lord God, are just, they've known the call of God and the enemy has tried to lie and say there's no way that it can be restored. Lord, I pray that you would speak the truth to their hearts, that you can restore everything that has been eaten by the cankerworm. You're able to restore it all. For those that, Lord God, maybe just feel like they're not worth your effort, I pray that, Lord, you'd remind them that they are very special and unique to you. There is no one else. You have a desire for them specifically. And so I pray that you'd reassure them, Lord, that your plan is for them. Lord, for those that maybe have been like Israel and have been kicking, Lord, they've been struggling against your word. There's something that you're calling them to lay down. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give them the grace to lay it down, the grace, Lord God, to give it to you and to be able to turn away from it. And Lord, as you take it, you will destroy it, you will remove it, you will cleanse it out of their lives. But give them the grace, Lord, to give it to you in Jesus' name. Lord, those areas, Lord God, where we feel marred in your hand, we feel like, Lord, it's falling apart. It's broken. It's, how can you use this messed up vessel? I pray that, Lord, you would be the one that would bring healing, Lord, in their hearts, their lives, even healing in their own self-concept and how they see themselves, that you would show them that they are special to you, fearfully and wonderfully made. That, Lord, they are exactly, Lord God, who you made them to be. And you love them for who they are. They don't have to pretend to be someone else. They don't have to put on a mask. Lord, you love them. You love that individual, Lord. You called them by name. And so I pray today in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we would just truly, truly, just in your hand relax. That, Lord, we would remain pliable, soft, able to be impressed in your hand in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's any hardness beginning to develop, we pray that, Lord, by your Spirit, you would pour out your Holy Spirit, the water of the Spirit upon us. And we pray your hand would begin to knead, Lord God, that clay, the clay of our lives, and make us soft and pliable again. And Lord, we pray against that devil in Jesus' name, that liar, the one that is out to destroy. We pray against him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would kick him out, Lord God, out of this church, out of our homes, out of our lives, in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord God, you'd restore hope once again. Lord, the children of Israel begin to say, there is no hope. But I pray, Lord, that you'd restore hope within the hearts of these your people. For, Lord, you have promised that, Lord, even where you were devising a plan to destroy because they were not turning from their ways, you said clearly if they would turn, you would relent and change what you had intended. And so we come before you, Lord, humbling ourselves in your presence, asking that you would do the work in our lives that only you can do. We submit our lives to you by faith. We surrender. Lord, we acknowledge we need you right now. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would do a beautiful work in all of our lives. Lord, we just again submit our lives to you individually, as a family, as a unit, Center Assembly of God. We submit ourselves to you once again. Thank you, Lord, that you are the potter and that, Lord, your plan is to create something beautiful. And so I pray, Lord, that you, again, would shield the hearts and minds of your people, guard them from the backlash of the devil. Speak to them peace. And I pray that, Lord, you would just give them, Lord, a good day, peace in their minds and in their hearts, rest tonight when they go to bed, that, Lord, we would be able to bask in submitting to your hand. And so for those that are making difficult decisions, reassure them, Lord, you are going to be faithful. And so we commit our lives to you once again. And we thank you that, Lord, we know that you're doing something good. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would complete the work and even continue the work in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God is good. And all the time, that's all right. He's got good in store for you. Praise the Lord.